Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Let's do this. Rick Ballew, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
And therefore has inside information on Mac Jones and his actual performance as a human being and a quarterback, is going to join us in 15 minutes.
All right, Rick Ballew.
Rick Ballew.
I love it.
Is a name from my past, actually. Sporting News Radio days, a billion years ago, Rick Ballew was a sort of in a different market co-worker of mine. So it'll be fun to have him on. And then Pods is going to be on later. 888-957-9570. Tell me that you don't actually think Brock Purdy is all that good without telling me that you don't actually think Brock Purdy is all that good. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of people today. If you just still expect the 49ers to win football games week in and week out just because they're the 49ers and you say so, to me you're saying one of two things. You actually don't think that Brock Purdy is that vital, number one, or you think Kyle Shanahan is the greatest coach who's ever lived. I don't know any franchise in the NFL who would lose their franchise quarterback and have people respond by going, no big deal, we're just going to keep on winning football games. I don't think that exists anywhere else.
And there's a third piece of it that you are leaving out, and that piece is that Mac Jones is a good enough quarterback to win a football game. And I'm not talking about them being without Brock Purdy the entire year and winning the Super Bowl. I'm talking about one game.
What about
they're going to New Orleans, and you go to New Orleans, can they beat New Orleans with Mac Jones? But, yeah, they can.
But this
I believe so.
That's not the report. The report isn't one game.
I'm not worried about the report.
Why
I'm
not?
Talking about one game. Because
but that's not what we're talking
you
about.
You might lose Trent, Christian, Fred, Diamador, Eddie. Who knows? I'm worried about one game.
But we're talking about the quarterback position
of the
49ers.
All right, if you want to talk about the quarterback position, can you beat New Orleans with Mac Jones? Yeah. Can you come home and beat Arizona with Mac Jones? Yeah. Can you be home and beat Jacksonville with Mac Jones? Yeah.
But that's
can you go to L.A. and beat Mac Jones? Maybe.
You're allowed to, but my point is it's fascinating that you keep answering yeah.
Well, it's fascinating that you think that it's all about Brock Purdy.
Of course it is.
This has very little to do with Brock Purdy.
Wow.
It has more to do with Kyle Shanahan, who is the coach, and Mac Jones, who will be the quarterback. And if you don't think that Mac Jones is any good, you're allowed to think that. And I know that you think Kyle Shanahan's really good.
I think he's great.
And so
I think he's
that
great,
to me becomes a big part of this.
I'm also aware of the stat that you spouted out to us earlier this week, which is Kyle Shanahan's 49er record when Jimmy and Brock are not the QB.
Right.
It sucks out loud.
Do you want me to run down the list of who those people were?
You can.
And I would say that Mac Jones is more accomplished and probably better than Beathard, Mullins, Brian Hoyer, who actually I was looking at a lot of his content today, and he's a content
awesome.
Star.
He's awesome.
He's on the rise.
He's awesome. He didn't text me back, but he's
Mac
awesome.
Mac Jones
I'm
is
trying.
Better than Dobbs. He's better than Brandon Allen. He's probably not better than Sam Darnold, and I'll give you that. Sam Darnold, 0-1 as a Niner starter. I think Mac Jones is better than all the rest of those guys who Kyle had to lean on to be the quarterback without Jimmy and Brock.
Maybe, but I also, it's just, to me, it's a very, very fascinating sort of exercise because we don't have, if the idea is that Mac Jones is not yet a bust, then I think you're also saying we don't have any idea who he is. That means we don't know who he is at all yet. So why would you have faith in something that you don't know at all? The only thing that we do know is that he was given a starting job and the rest of the league watched for 3 years. He got worse each year.
Right, right.
He did, statistically.
Sure.
He did.
And stats don't lie.
And they,
you're
they
right.
No, they do. But he did. He got worse each year. And I'm telling you that by my eye test. And I'm telling you that the league watched him for 3 years. The team that invested a first-round pick in him decided, we do not want you to be our starter anymore. And nobody else in the league through 2 years even thought of him as a starter either. That is the league's review of Mac Jones. So they do not think he's that good. So why, when no other NFL team is given this, why do we think the presence of a good coach or the presence of an organization that has been successful automatically means you will still win football games even though your quarterback's out? You can go around the league right now. We wouldn't do that for any other franchise QB. The Bills are a good team. We would not do this if Josh Allen went down.
Yeah, who's their backup?
I have no freaking idea.
That's
I think
the point.
It's Trubisky.
Right.
Who also is a first-round draft pick.
Right.
Who also has started a lot of games. He is Mac Jones. That's exactly who Trubisky is.
Well,
he is Mac Jones. If you want to, but using the data that you've given me, experience and draft position, which I don't know what that's actually worth. You're not wrong.
No.
I don't know what that's worth
what
when
it's
you
worth,
go play.
You know what's worth it to me is the fact that your franchise, the Niners, went out and signed this guy the first possible chance they could and gave him guaranteed money. So this organization believes that he's better than what he's shown in Jacksonville and in New England. They gave him $5 million guaranteed. They gave him a two-year deal, $7 million. They gave him big backup money, and they did it on the first day of free agency.
That's backup money. It's not like
But they did it on the first day of free agency,
sure,
where
sure.
If they saw he was available, and they rushed out, and they signed Mac Jones because they wanted him to be their backup just in case, and here we are, just in case.
He's a high-level backup. I granted you that yesterday. That does not make him somebody who will automatically just go win football games in the NFL.
But his
no matter who.
Past track record doesn't mean he's automatically going to go out and lose football games.
His past track record, he does lose more than he wins, number
right.
one. But no, I'm not. I'm also not using past track. I don't know what's going to happen. My point is it is fascinating to me how many people today think that the Brock Purdy injury is no big deal.
It's and you not used, a big deal.
You
yes.
use that exact phrase.
That's right. It's not a big deal.
Your franchise quarterback getting hurt. You could not, in my opinion, have a bigger deal for any football team.
It's
there
because
is no
he's
bigger
not,
deal.
He's not as important to the Niners as Josh Allen is to the Bills, as Lamar is to the Ravens, as fill in the blank quarterback is to their team.
I don't really agree.
And we're
going to
find out.
Yeah.
You can agree or disagree, and ultimately what happens on the field will be the determining factor. If Mac Jones goes out and he stinks and they lose, or Mac Jones goes out and plays great, he could play great, and they could lose. We're going to see on Sunday just how important Mac Jones is and Brock Purdy is to this team. They might go out and go 4-0 without Brock Purdy.
Sure, they might.
They could go 0-4 or somewhere in between. And
yeah,
whatever happens is not an indictment on Brock Purdy in any way. It's more about the team. It's about this team without Kittle and Purdy. All right, Kyle, you don't have your tight end. You don't have your franchise quarterback. What are you going to do about
it? You don't have some of your receivers.
Sure.
And you now, to me, are whittled down to a very mediocre team. So why would we just assume that they will win over other mediocre teams?
This team that you're facing is probably less than mediocre, and
not,
I would say the Niners are not mediocre.
Not the week after.
I don't think the Niners are, without Brock and without George, mediocre.
And
you still have a very good defense.
And that's my question.
You've got two other Hall of Famers on offense who will be on the field, and the best coach in football,
Saints,
some think,
the Saints
not
also,
mediocre.
The Saints also have a very good defense. To me, It is on paper the definition of mediocre. It's no quarterback. It's no tight end. It's most of your receivers are not there. An offensive line that was mediocre last week at best. A bunch of rookies on defense. And so you can say what you're saying, but then I, in my opinion, I get to say what I'm saying. You're clearly saying you think Kyle Shanahan's the best coach in the NFL.
Oh, he's great. Okay. He's a great coach. So he's a great play caller.
And there you go.
Look at what they did after Kittle got hurt. They changed their approach. They changed what they were doing, and they went out there, and they did enough. And
they didn't score a lot of points, I can tell you that.
That's not his fault. They had a kick missed, and they had a kick blocked is what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the quarterback, your franchise quarterback, threw a couple of interceptions, and – you know, I don't know if that's on Kyle. So that was on Brock Purdy. He's the one throwing the football.
Again, I am all in on everything that you all are saying. But I want you to pick which one of these means more to you. If you just think the Niners are fine and they're going to roll, I believe that you are either saying you don't think Brock Purdy is vital to this team, or you're saying Kyle Shanahan's the best coach in the league. If Mahomes got hurt tomorrow, I do not believe that Kansas City fans would be like, yep, we're fine. We'll win through September with Kyle Allen. I don't think that's how they'd feel. So it's fine. You're welcome to the opinion, but I think you're either downplaying Brock or you're uplifting Kyle Shanahan as godlike because he's the only coach in history who can just win with a backup QB all the time. Let's go to Guru in San Jose. Hi, Guru. Thanks for the call. Rick Ballew here in less than 10 minutes with the Jacksonville broadcast team. Hey, Guru, what's going on?
Hey, Mark. So, yeah, I got a chance to listen to your soliloquy there. Me personally, like, I think Brock Purdy can be a franchise quarterback, but at the same time,
hey Guru, I don't want to interrupt you. Could you pick up your phone? Maybe you're all like on a speaker or something. You sound like you're inside a tin can.
Hello, can you hear me?
A little better. All right, I'm gonna put Guru on hold. Yeah, go ahead and get him, Lucas, and see if we can figure that whole thing out.
See if we can work through that. Ahead. I do think that there's a third part of it that you're leaving out, which Mac Jones can be better than you think. So it's not just that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's the best coach and people don't think that Brock Purdy's the franchise guy. You've got a backup quarterback who's made 49 starts, which is a lot, and he's a guy who, you know, even Greg Cosell yesterday said he is the kind of backup that Kyle likes because he fits what they try to do. The backup quarterback is experienced. He's a guy that Shanahan loved coming out of the draft. It doesn't mean that, you know, Purdy's not the guy and that Shanahan has to be a genius. The Mac Jones part of it, I think, needs to be acknowledged.
Right. So in my opinion, I process anyone who thinks that about Mac Jones as actually a compliment in Kyle Shanahan. Because what under the covers you're saying is, even though Mac has been bad pretty much most of his four-year career, you now think he's going to be good. And the reason you think he's going to be good is because you think he simply needed a Kyle Shanahan-type presence in his career. And you might be right, but I'm still going to process it that way.
Okay. And by the way, you can process it however you want.
By the way, I got some intel on the whole Kyle loved him coming out of the draft.
Sure.
I got some intel on what was probably going on with the whole Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, all of that. Rick Ballew is going to join us in a second. He's got some insight on Mac Jones. Coming up today at 5, the Valkyries are going to close out the regular season in Minnesota against the top-seeded Lynx. Very good measuring stick situation here. Valkyries have already clinched their playoff spot, but the seed is up in the air. Win tonight, and they're the 6 and play either Vegas or the Atlanta Dream. So this is big. Lose tonight, and they'll be the 8 seed, and they'll get more Lynx. You can hear the game right here on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Download the app, search Valkyries. We're sponsored by Moderna, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dent.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm not going to bring up the name, but texted with a former NFL quarterback this morning, and there was very much a sarcastic sort of a tone behind this sentence: good luck for your Niners the next month.
Wow, okay.
So you know, whatever. Stew that into the pot with everything else. But let's learn a little bit more. Rick Ballew on the River Islands guest line, been around doing radio for a long, long time, and he's on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM, the Jaguars flagship station out in Jacksonville. Hey, Rick, what's going on?
How you guys doing? How are things?
You know, like, we'd be better if we had a healthy franchise quarterback, but we have Mac Jones.
You do, a Jacksonville native.
Indeed.
Who went to Bama and first-round pick, played here a year ago. So you'll like Mac. He's a fun-loving guy. He's a good guy. I mean, I think San Francisco will play hard for him. I don't think that's the issue. I just, whether or not he's productive is what it's going to be all about.
I said this yesterday, Rick, and every time somebody who's like done a deeper dive on Mac Jones or someone like yourself who's covered him for a period of time, when they describe him, they very much sound like they're selling me on a blind date who has a great personality. That's what everybody sounds like so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, his mistakes are plentiful. Let's be honest about that. He's very inconsistent, doesn't take care of the ball. He's got accuracy issues, but there are times he'll surprise you. You know, he can throw the ball, he can make a play. It's just not consistent. And, you know, he really got an opportunity here a year ago. He played basically the second half of the season when Trevor Lawrence went down. You look at his numbers, they're okay percentage-wise, but here's a way that I would define Mac Jones. He may be the best passer in the world if it's 3rd and 11, and he throws the football 4 yards.
Yeah, that's probably not great, and you're probably setting yourself up for a punt. So he goes 2-5 last year, and Jacksonville goes 2-8 without him. Was it a Mac Jones problem, or was it more of a Jaguars and the coaching staff problem?
No, it was just awful around here. I mean, the worst play calling in the NFL. Press Taylor never should have called plays. I'll stay with if Doug Peterson called plays a year ago, this team would have won 7 or 8 football games. Jacksonville lost 10 games last year by 7 points or less. They couldn't run the ball. They had the softest offensive line in the NFL. And, you know, Christian Kirk went down. Gabe Davis went down. Evan Ingram went down. They lost top receivers and tight ends. So it was really everything that you could possibly ask for went wrong. It would have been different, I believe, if Mac Jones had an offensive line, had a running game, had all of his weapons healthy. I don't feel as though we got an accurate look at what Jones was able to do a season ago.
Rick, I'm interested to know your thoughts on kind of processing what you saw then and then how it fits in now. I know there's a lot of snap reacts I hear both locally and beyond that's like, oh, this is the Niners, though. And so with Kyle Shanahan calling plays and Christian McCaffrey behind him, this will be a lot better. There's no George Kittle. There's all kinds of problems with the receiving core. So are you expecting an elevated Mac or the same Mac?
Yeah, it's interesting when you ask that question. I think a lot of that comes down to whether or not they're able to run the football. Again, they weren't here, and he constantly found himself in catch-up mode, you know, coming from behind, down a possession, 2, sometimes 3, and basically Jacksonville became a one-dimensional football team. If San Francisco is able to remain balanced and defenses don't cheat, and, you know, obviously they're on their heels because they're expecting a pass as opposed to getting up the line of scrimmage and defending the run, I think there's a possibility there that Mac Jones could be better. As you just pointed out, you got a better coaching staff, you got a better offensive line, you got a better running back. I know you're down a little bit at wide receiver, and certainly Kittle is a massive blow, but it's still a better team in San Francisco than what Mac Jones had a year ago when he got those opportunities.
At his best in Jacksonville, what was he really good at?
That's a very difficult question. It is. As I said, he's when it's 3rd and 11. When it's 3rd and 11, he's great with the 4 yard pass. He is. He still is a talented guy. I just think he's a mistake-filled guy, and he's someone that you're hoping to get some sort of consistency. We've seen some craziness of the league lately. You just look at these quarterbacks like Sam Darnold, and down the road here in Tampa with Baker Mayfield, guys getting second opportunities, Joe Flacco, and them evolving. I remember when they went out and got him, someone from the former regime, I had a nice conversation with them, and I was told that a year ago they believed Mac Jones could win games here in Duval if Trevor Lawrence went down, and it really didn't work out that way. It's hard for me to really pick a positive as far as him and what he does on the field, but I will tell you, as I said at the top, he's a very likable guy. He brings a lot of energy. He keeps everyone loose. I do think the guys are going to play hard for him around him. Now, if you start losing consistently until Purdy comes back, that could change. But I would at least expect that coming up this weekend for you.
Rick Ballew in Jacksonville with the Jags flagship station is with us here on 95.7 The Game. You know what I'm interested in, Rick, especially as someone who, let's say, maybe had a few shares in Brian Thomas Jr. in fantasy last year. That's a wide receiver one who really performed well with Mac Jones. Now, do you find that as a product of Mac was able to do some good things with that relationship, or was that just a rookie player kind of moving into the second half of his first year?
No, that's actually a great point, because there's been worrisome around here. It was not a good camp for Brian Thomas Jr. I rolled in here every day and talked about him dropping a pass. He dropped one, arguably two, on opening day here against Carolina, and you look at what happened. He caught one football and seven targets. Now, Trevor Lawrence missed him three times, but I'm glad you mentioned this, because the Mac Jones to Brian Thomas Jr. combination was better last year than the Trevorance to Brian Thomas Jr. relationship. And that's still evolving. If you look at what happened out here, you know, Dyami Brown, or they just, you know, brought over from Washington, and Travis Hunter, the rookie, and Parker Washington were all more consistent than Brian Thomas Jr. Throughout training camp. And again, you can make that case in week one. So, yeah, that is a good example. Yeah, that did work last year with Brian Thomas Jr. We were kidding about it the other day. They had a 14-point swing and lost on opening day at Miami a year ago. And they didn't even target, Trevor Lawrence didn't even target Brian Thomas Jr. in the second half of that game where they lost at Miami. So, yes, Mac definitely did have a better relationship, passing relationship, with Thomas Jr.
How much of the Mac Jones struggles are related to that bad offensive line and the fact that, really, Jacksonville couldn't run the ball last year when Mac came on, and it became much of a one-dimensional team?
I mean, honestly, a ton. Obviously, you know, he had a running back at Bama. He didn't necessarily. They kind of went by committee in New England, but I mean, defenses across the league knew that Jacksonville was not going to beat you with the run, because primarily just how bad that offensive line was. And, you know, you look at what they did around here. They brought in six new offensive linemen, two new tight ends, two new backs, two new wide receivers. They knew they needed to make a change, not to mention a new backup quarterback. But that's fair. You know, as I said earlier, it would have been nice to see Mac Jones with all of the starters out there. He didn't get that. He got guys who were beaten up, coming off injuries, and some backups. And again, it was a combination of a bad offensive line, no rushing attack, and just really predictable, awful play calling. I mean, the same screen time after time after time. Folks around here can't believe what they're seeing with Liam Cohen and his motion and, you know, his advanced screen game, which is just out of this world compared to the way it was the last 3 years with Doug Peterson and Press Taylor.
By the way, just since you brought up his name, has Liam Cohen gotten over that whole opening press conference Duval thing that he did last year, that viral video? Everybody over it now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you know, that exploded. But on his initial presser, what I loved about him most is he really talked about the offensive line. And, you know, Tony Boselli, who I've worked with forever, I started doing the Tony Boselli show with him back in 1995. obviously was a big part of that. So you know what it's like. You're not going to go far in this league if you don't have a good offensive line. And Jacksonville was poor a year ago. But, yeah, Cohen will be remembered for the Duval chant. But the best part of that press conference for me was him identifying the fact that they have to fix that offensive line.
Rick Ballew, Jaguars flagship station in Jacksonville with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Rick, you've mentioned a couple of times the mistakes are plentiful. I'd love to dig into what kind of mistakes are we talking about. All coaches hate turnovers. Kyle Shanahan really, 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 really hates turnovers. So is it a turnover problem? Is it an accuracy problem? A presence problem? What do you think?
Well, he doesn't take care of the ball. He hasn't. And, you know, I don't know if you agree or not, but I think everyone is going to throw an interception. Okay, that's going to happen. You try to make a play. What I mean by taking care of the ball is the foolishness in the pocket, knowing that time is up and you got to throw it away and not try to make a play and fumble. I know that was an issue, not necessarily that much here, but I am from Boston and I follow the New England Patriots. I mean, that was a problem there. Yeah, there is some aggravation as far as his accuracy, but if you look at his numbers a year ago, percentage wise, they were, you know, 10% better than Trevor Lawrence. I think also taking a shot. You know, does he take the easier pass, as I said, the dump down valve, as opposed to, you know, going for your primary target, your number one option? I think there was a little bit of that bothered Jacksonville a year ago. But I'll defend Mac Jones again for the third or fourth time. I mean, the offensive line could not pass protect and you weren't able to run. So what was he supposed to do? I don't think it's a lack of confidence. I don't. I think he's got, you know, the closer mentality, the goaltender in the NHL mentality, that when he makes a mistake, he doesn't carry that over with him into the next series. He starts all over again. I think that's one of the brighter spots that I would say about Mac Jones. You know, talent-wise, he just hasn't done what they expected him to do when he was selected in the first round.
Rick Ballew in Jacksonville. Hey, man, great stuff. And so once again, you know, he's going to make a mistake or two, but boy, he'll sign your autograph after the game. Is that right?
He is. I mean, Mac is, I don't know how much you got a chance to go out and watch him practice, but he loves the game. He keeps everyone on their toes and you know, that's great in high school and college. Yeah. Obviously at this level, it's all about winning. The only way you can be a leader in the NFL is by winning. That stuff goes away at this level. But I at least think for this weekend, those guys will be fired up and play hard for him, because I bet they like him a lot in the locker room and in their building. But it's going to come down to whether or not he's productive. And if that's the case, who knows? Maybe you can win a few of these games until Purdy comes back.
Rick, thanks for making some time today, man. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, guys. See you in a few weeks.
Yep. Rick Ballew. He's right. That's right.
Coming out.
Mac Jones revenge game week 4 at Levi's Stadium.
That's right.
Very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, boy, you can go ahead and mark that on the calendar now. And assuming that Brock Purdy won't be back, and we're not sure. You know, the report was 2 to 5 weeks, which is pretty general. He could come back sooner. It could be longer than that. We just don't know.
I sort of take it as probably not for almost definitely not this weekend, and certainly I would think the home opener is probably out as well. But just sort of the size of that gap is also a concern to me. Like, that's usually when you finally start getting some sort of a whittled down situation, it's kind of like, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks, and like 2 to 5 weeks, like, whoa, like he might be back in 10 days and he might be back in October.
Yeah.
That's a big window.
It's a huge window, and if it was definitely going to be 4 or more, I would figure they'd put him on IR. That way they could use the roster spot. So I think it's a spot where they just don't know, and it's turf toe, allegedly, and so it's not like something where, okay, it's a broken pinky, which is 4 weeks. We know that. Boom. It's a set thing, and you go ahead and put a cast on it, and you know what that's going to be. Turf toe, it just depends on how it reacts.
All right, Guru in San Jose is back with us. Guru, thank you for hanging in there and giving us a call back. What's up?
Hey guys, are you able to hear me now?
You sound great, Guru.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mark. And thanks for taking my call once again. I want to harken back to something you said at the beginning of the show, right? Which is like, if you believe in Mac Jones, you either think Brock Purdy is not that good or Kyle Shanahan is the best coach ever. Am I phrasing that correctly?
That's not quite how I would phrase it. It's not so much like you're free to believe in Mac Jones. I look at it more as an umbrella about Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. I subscribe to the theory, Guru, that in the NFL, when you lose your franchise QB, when somebody's making $45, $50, $55 million, when you lose that player, there is going to be a major drop-off. And what I hear from some 49er fans today is that they don't really think there's going to be much of a drop-off. They still expect them to go win football games. And to me, that's either saying that you don't think that Brock Purdy is that important, or you're saying Kyle Shanahan is just the most amazing coach ever because he can win with backups. Most people can't do that at that position.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. I think the 49ers have a much better record the next 2 to 5 weeks if they have Brock Purdy versus Mac Jones. But I think football fans are also myopic in the sense that we kind of think of the game like week by week. We don't go beyond this Sunday for the most part, right? And you know, this Sunday against the Saints, I mean, they aren't a pushover, so to speak. They are mediocre. But I think, like, if you go back and look at Mac Jones and look at how he's operated in structure, I kind of go back to his rookie year when he had Josh McDaniels. That was a really, really good year for him. And generally, if you look at Mac Jones back from Alabama, in New England, and even a moment or two here in Jacksonville, when he operates in structure and he knows what to do with the football, he generally does a good job. Now, he is prone to mistakes. I will say that he is prone to throwing interceptions, seeing things that are not quite there, more so than Brock Purdy is. And that might cost the Niners a game or two in this stretch. I'm not denying it. But I think the Niners can pass by with Mac Jones as well. I think, like, the game one of the preseason was very – I saw that game and I saw the first drive. That was a really good drive led by him, albeit it is the preseason. And by most accounts, he had a really good training camp. So, I mean, I'm really optimistic to see what Mac Jones has in him. And if he's not a starting quality quarterback, we're going to see it. This is going to be a large sample size for him. And I bet he's motivated to play well as well because, this is an audition to be a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, this is his chance. Absolutely. This is a huge deal. Guru, thank you very much. If we hearken back, and this is just, you know, whatever, we're all throwing different things into the pot.
Sure, yeah.
Hearken back to this rookie year that everybody keeps trumpeting, and he was only a rookie, and they went 10-7.
Yeah.
So you give him a lot of credit for that. But to go back and say, boy, he looked great his rookie year. His quarterback rating that year, if you then jump the numbers to just last year, I want to go to our most recent year in the NFL. His quarterback rating his rookie year, if you jammed it in last year, would have been 20th in the league. So,
yeah, he was second for offensive rookie of the year that year.
Right, right.
So, I mean, but the people who watched football thought that he was the second best offensive rookie. And part of that was being a rookie QB who led his team into the playoffs with a 10-7 mark.
Didn't turn out to be that great of a draft class.
Well, what was his QB rating that year relative to
that's what I'm saying.
Compared it to this past season.
Take his rating from his rookie year.
Right, 92.5.
And then compare it to all of the quarterback ratings last year.
But just what about recent... how did it relate to that year, though, is my point.
I mean,
because it might have been a down year for quarterback ratings. You know, 92.5
was 2022
quarterback rating. This would be his fifth year. So that would have been 2021, I believe.
2021.
Yeah. 21. 21, okay. 22, and 2021. He was second in offensive rookie of the year voting to, I think, Jamar Chase was the offensive rookie of the year.
19th.
Okay.
He was 19th in quarterback rating that year.
Right. And yeah. That is?
Right behind Derek Carr and Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and what Brock Purdy's last year was about the same, about 92.5, if memory serves. I don't have it right in front of me right now, but
I don't remember.
His QB rating last year was very similar to what it was. And
96.1.
For Brock Purdy. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And he was right in the middle of the pack, I think.
13th.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And quarterback rating is
one number.
It's a metric.
Yeah, it's
one number. I get that. And for me, I look at what he did in terms of their record. They went 10-7. And you have mentioned that the last 2 years he was 4-14 as a starter, and the teams without him the last 2 years were 4-12. So for me, he was basically as bad as the teams that he played on. Jacksonville, when they didn't have him, was bad. And New England, with Bailey Zappe, was just as bad. So for me, it's not as much of a Mac Zappe. Jones issue.
No, so here's where I'm trying like hell to like meet you halfway here. Do I think that Mac Jones this weekend, if we just want a spotlight this weekend, will he probably look better than he did the last couple of years? Probably. Like, I can't say for sure, but probably, like, yes, this is a, I would imagine, better surroundings than he's had in his career. Do I think that it's just going to look the same? Good God, no. Good God, no.
Like, well, how could it look the same?
Massive, massive drop off from Brock
Purdy. I don't think it's a massive, massive drop off.
And that's where we disagree.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And, you know,
I just, Brock Purdy
backup quarterbacks,
is a really good QB, and
sure.
Matt Jones is not.
But what do you think about Joe Burrow as a quarterback?
Great quarterback.
So a couple years ago, he gets knocked out for the year, and his replacement came in, and they went 4-3. Jake Browning.
Right.
He stepped into a talented team with a talented coach, and he was able to win games. Then they went 4-3, and they were an eyelash away from making the playoffs with a backup who's not as accomplished as Mac Jones.
Yeah, but it didn't look at all the same. That's all. And the rest of the Bengals were healthy, which the Niners are not. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your calls on this. It's Willard and Dibbs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.